It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the Book of Psalms, we are continuing our series on the Book of Psalms, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The Book of Psalms, written approximately from the time of Moses, 1500 BC, through the Babylonian captivity and beyond to approximately 450 BC. The Book of Psalms has numerous authors, David being the author of most of the Psalms, over 70 Psalms written by the sweet psalmist of Israel, the beloved shepherd boy David. Solomon wrote also some Psalms along with Moses, the sons of Korah, Asaph, and others. The Book of Psalms has approximately 50 Psalms that are not mentioned with an author, written anonymously, yet still written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Book of Psalms is the hymn book of the Bible. The word Psalms means hymns. It means song. These are historical writings. These are writings of praise, judgment, deliverance, promises, hope, comfort, and all written as songs in order to celebrate the Lord and to bring it to remembrance that these psalms be passed down from generation to generation. The Book of Psalms is also a devotional book. And it's often said that individuals who are students of the Bible use the Psalms as a devotional book and use the Proverbs as practical application. For example, if it is the 15th day of the month, then individuals will read the 15th Psalm and the 15th chapter of Proverbs as part of their daily devotional and daily personal instruction. The Book of Psalms is quoted numerously throughout the Old Testament. Over 150 quotes and allusions are given throughout the New Testament referencing the Book of Psalms. Jesus Christ quoted often from the Book of Psalms, as well as other books of the Bible, Isaiah, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and others. Jesus Christ wrote in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, an outline on the importance of the Psalms, stating, And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Here Jesus Christ in Luke 24:44 speaks of himself in the law of Moses, which is the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. And in the prophets, which are the major and minor prophets in the Old Testament, and in the Psalms, all about the Lord Jesus Christ. This, once again, is our hymn book, H-Y-M-N, in the Bible, but it's also a hymn book, H-I-M, all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Bible is a book not only of history, it's a book of his story. As we study the book of Psalms, as we study the scriptures, it is crucial that we find Jesus in the Word as we study the Word, and that Jesus Christ locates us through the Word of our study, that we may walk with Him and talk with Him in a close relationship along life's narrow way. The book of Psalms is divided in five sections, similar to the five books of Moses, similar to the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Genesis book of Psalms is Psalms 1 through 41, and it concerns man. The Exodus book of the book of Psalms is Psalms 42 through 72, and this concerns the nation of Israel. The Leviticus book of Psalms is Psalms 73 through 89, and this concerns the sanctuary. The Numbers book of Psalms is Psalm 90 through Psalm 106, and this concerns Israel and the Gentiles, and has the earth in view. The Deuteronomy book of Psalms is Psalm 107 through Psalm 150, and this concerns God and His Word. The book of Psalms is our devotional book. The book of Psalms is a celebration of the deliverance, the praise, worship, and history of the nation of Israel, and how it applies to our life today. This is the teaching on the book of Psalms, Psalm 4, verses 1 through 2. Here in Psalm 4, this is a psalm of distress. It's a psalm that is carried over from Psalm 3. This Psalm 4 is an evening prayer psalm where David is continuing his prayer of distress, fleeing from Absalom, and praying thanksgiving for the deliverance that God has brought him through in protecting him from Absalom. This psalm is also historical in reference to 2 Samuel chapter 15, David fleeing from his son Absalom, who was attempting to take David's life and take over the kingdom. Here also in Psalm 4, we see another superscription over the psalm. These superscriptions are throughout the Psalms, and they are part of the inspired text of the Scripture. This particular superscription speaks of a second prayer of distress to the chief musician on Niganoth, stringed instruments, a psalm of David. This particular superscription speaks to the chief musician, the music leader in the sacred Jewish sanctuary of music. You'll find this cross-referenced with 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 31 through 32. Music being set up in the sanctuary for worship, praise, and celebration. You'll also find this in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 16 through 22. Music was a part of the worship experience unto the Lord. And this superscription speaks to stringed instruments. There were many instruments used, as we will see throughout the Psalms, in worship, praise, and celebration unto the Lord. Verse 1 speaks of David once again crying out to God and thanking God for delivering him in his distress. David, in verse 1, crying out for mercy because God could have used his enemies to judge him or chastise him for his sins. as God often allowed the enemies of the Israelites to overtake them because they have fallen back into sin. David, in verse 1, cries out for mercy and for God to hear his prayer, and recognizing that God has delivered him from his enemies. Verse 1 speaks to David crying out to God first. In verse 2, then he speaks of men. The order that David has in his prayers, to where he cries out to God and then gives a description of the men, in that order. David having his priorities in order. Verse 2 speaks of a contrast with verse 1. The God of righteousness in verse 1. The God of mercy in verse 1. Versus the men of folly, vanity, leasing, which is an old English term for falsehoods. Verse 2 speaks of a question: how long will individuals trust in their folly, trust in their empty, vain opportunities in life, and not seek after God? Verse 2 closes with Selah, which we learned was stop the music and meditate. Meditate on verse 1, the righteousness and the goodness and the mercy of God, in contrast to verse 2, the folly, the vanity, the shame, and the adventurous falsehoods of men that take them away from the Lord. Verses 3 through 5. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Here in verse number 3, we see that God sanctifies or sets apart those that are godly for himself, those to be used by the Lord to fulfill their purpose, calling, their identity, their destiny. We as believers have a destiny, have a purpose, have a calling to be the salt and light of the earth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 states, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ should come out of the world and the worldly activities that cause us to go astray, and to dive into God's purpose for us, to be salt and light, and to speak up for the goodness of the Lord. Verse 4 speaks of a pause to examine ourselves. Stand in awe, stand in reverence of the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse 5, Jesus stated to fear the Lord, to fear God. Verse 4 speaks of a self-examination in our quiet time on the goodness of the Lord and what he would have us to do, to be still and hear his voice. Scripture states in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 states, consider your ways. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24 states, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." In this world of hustle and bustle and turmoil, schedules and suspenses, it seems there's not enough time to do anything. Scripture here in verse 4 encourages us to pause, take a moment, search, examine, and give reference and reverence to the Lord. Scripture teaches what we love, we will give time for. Jesus stated, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What we make time for is what our priorities are set for and what we love. Verse 5 speaks of offering to the Lord a life of righteousness and trusting Him, living a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 states, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you." We ought to live a life of righteousness in the Lord and to do that which is pleasing in His sight. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 states, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." We can offer up a righteous sacrifice unto the Lord, not only the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but as Romans chapter 12 teaches, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. The one thing we can give to the Lord that's pleasing unto Him is ourselves, to live for Him and to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Verses 6 through 8. "There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in mine heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Here in verse 6, a question stating, what good is really going on now? What good in the world do we see? Things are getting so bad. There must not be a God. There must not be a reason to live right. Because show me, is there any good? Verse 6, in response, David states that the Lord show Himself upon us, how good He is, how merciful He is, how kind He is. Yes, in these last days, things are getting worse. For the Bible says, in the last days, that many shall depart from the faith. The Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. But verse 6 also gives us comfort, knowing that God will reveal Himself to us and has in the Scriptures, stating that we will have everlasting life through Jesus Christ, despite what we see going on, despite the turmoil, the evil, the disease, and the destruction that's happening throughout the world. Those that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ have everlasting life. Luke chapter 12, verse 32 states, "Fear not, little flock, it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In spite of those that say what good is going on now, we as believers know that despite what we see, we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also." Verse 7 speaks of gladness and joy more than the material things of the world. The corn and the wine here in verse 7 speaks to material prosperity. God is giving a contrast that he will give us true joy, true happiness, true gladness, and have our cup runneth over in the Lord, which is better than material prosperity that only offers happiness based on the circumstance of the prosperity. Scripture states in Proverbs chapter 15, verses 16 through 17, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." Jesus stated, "You can gain the whole world and lose your own soul." Solomon teaches in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 that everything his eye saw, he got. Everything he wanted, he received. And without the Lord, he was still empty and said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." Individuals today that increase in prosperity and riches and wealth without the Lord will still be empty and searching to fill the hole in their heart. Only Jesus Christ can heal a broken heart, can fill us with joy and gladness and joy unspeakable, full of glory. It is okay to prosper in this world, but we must ensure that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we prosper, we still continually trust in the Lord as the object of our love, the object of our faith, and the source of our joy and fulfillment. Verse number 8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Here in verse 8, David concludes this evening prayer with assurance that his sleep will be sweet. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can be like David here in verse 8, as long as we are in the will of God, as long as we are trusting in the Lord, as long as we are walking with the Lord, no matter what distress is around us, what enemies try to destroy us, we can have peaceful, sweet sleep, knowing that the Lord will watch over us and keep us and protect us, knowing that if God be for us, who can be against us? This is the teaching on the book of Psalms, Psalm 4. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of rededication, this prayer of salvation. Won't you pray with me today. Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your loving kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.